Good afternoon, everyone. Charles Moskowitz here. Welcome to the program. I am doing the live stream here at YouTube and at all of my subscribers in the podcast world. You know, it's amazing what someone can do nowadays with some simple equipment. And of course, the other thing, the other wrinkle, if you will, with my show that I think is unique is that I am able to take phone calls right off the street using the old-fashioned dial-up, 617-396-4958 is the number if you'd like to call in and join the program. 617-396-4958. There are so many things going on right now that are difficult to talk about on YouTube and on TikTok because those platforms remain censored, as well as is Twitter and Facebook. So let's suffice to say, on those particular sensitive areas, that there is developing news. I don't want to call it breaking news, but I would say it's moving forward in both Arizona, after there was a significant forensic audit that took place, and that audit discovered and uncovered considerable corruption with regard to the election of 2020. They discovered well over 100,000 votes cast, more than were registered, that there are developments in Georgia on the same subject, in that a state judge considered ruling on a disputed body of votes out of Fulton County that were about 200, if not more, 1,000. And then he sat on this case for about 6 months, finally decided to rule against it, in spite of the fact that there was no precedent in that state to not have an audit under the same circumstance. Now that is being challenged. That is being brought up again. It is a long process, but I believe that the people of Georgia will finally get justice in terms of discovering whether or not their votes had been suppressed in the 2020 election. And then, of course, the third state that is critical, well, there's many others, but the third state right now that is on the forefront of this ongoing crisis is Pennsylvania, where there is significant movement in the direction of conducting a full forensic audit. And Pennsylvania is a state that is reported to have had major problems, particularly around the area in Philadelphia with regard to voter questions of voter suppression. In other words, votes, legitimate votes that were canceled by artificial votes. And Pittsburgh, where thousands of people reported on election day that they showed up at the polls and they discovered that their vote had already been cast. By who? We don't know. But they were told they could get a provisional ballot. And that, by the way, the same thing happened in Phoenix, Arizona. And that meant that, first of all, someone had already voted for them. We don't know who. We don't know how they voted. I'm not claiming how they voted, but I think that people watching this program can reasonably surmise how they voted. And then, of course, the second issue is that by taking a provisional ballot, as opposed to actually voting live with the machine, you don't know how that's going to be counted, who is going to do the counting, and when that's going to happen. And that's a big question, by the way. You know, that's something that I would really wonder about. When someone sends in even an absentee ballot or a provisional ballot, which has to be hand counted. Who exactly does the counting? I'd like to know that. You know, as a voter, I'd like to know that. I wonder about that. Anyway, 617-396-4958. You're welcome to join the program. Charles Moskowitz here. 617-396-4958. I should mention that I have just published my latest book, Sociology for Conservatives. It's available at Amazon Books. This is an American social theory, American conservative social theory. And I am presenting this in my humble capacity as a sociology student here in Boston, who discovered in the course of getting a degree in sociology that sociology is dominated by the left. Not that I didn't know that anyway, but I now know that firsthand, that the sociological disciplines that have emanated out of that social science all the way to its founding in the mid to late 19th century by Auguste Comte and Karl Marx and others has been leftist thinking. It has been a tool of the left. I don't even think anyone would deny that. It has given birth to such social theories as cooked up by social theorists, sociologists, anthropologists, psychologists, etc., as critical theory, critical race theory, critical legal theory, all the other critical theory schools, feminism, conflict theory, dialectical theory, all of these things were cooked up by liberal left sociologists and other social scientists, all of which are based on ideologies, all of which have an agenda. And my simple and humble claim here is that there should be a conservative sociological theory, which is why I've written this book. So, you know, there are a lot of social thinkers out there that are a lot more qualified than I am. I'm not claiming to be, you know, a great sociologist here, but I'm hoping that I can make a small contribution toward the development, the further development of conservative social theory. And, you know, that this will be taken up by serious people and that conservative social theory will become one of the canons of sociology and should become. Because so conservative social theory, first of all, is most reflective of the American political and social theory, that which this nation was founded on, that which these other social theories have worked hard to undermine. And even more fundamentally and more basically, conservatism, if you will, is and represents, I would contend, and this is one of the theses of my book, it represents the best elements of human nature, because it's based on truths. It's based on reality. You know, the social theories of the left, particularly Marxism, of course, they are conjured up out of falsehoods. They're conjured up out of thin air. There's nothing real there. They're trying to reinvent, or as Barack Obama said, he wants to transform human nature. They want to transform existence itself. There is no basic belief in anything real. In fact, such things are seen as prejudice. And so they invent entire realities, since they don't recognize any reality or a source of reality, which I would contend is none other than God, the creator of the universe, or even for an atheist, some kind of an external point of existence where existence happened, and that included both physical and abstract. Instead, they invent realities, and they invent realities based on their image of human power. Anyway, I get into this issue in my book, Sociology for Conservatives. So check it out. And if you'd like to join me right now for this brief talk, I am here. live, 617-396-4958, 617-396-4958. Anthony Fauci, there's a new book out about him by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that is devastating. I hope to interview Mr. Kennedy. Here's a man of the establishment who is stepping out and talking about not only the, not fact, but more than suggested evidence that the coronavirus originated at the Wuhan lab in China, the Wuhan lab of virology, excuse me, that Fauci knew about it, that Fauci has his fingerprints on other pandemics and other diseases going back to AIDS, that he is promoting the vaccine. And I'm not against the vaccine. I've had the vaccine. But he's there as a pitchman for the vaccine, according to Robert Kennedy. And that's his main motivation, which explains why he has suppressed other less expensive alternative medical modalities, which I can't mention because this is YouTube, that are being used all around the world and that are being used cheaply by average people to not prevent, but to treat, and not always successfully, but with a pretty good record, to treat the coronavirus. Now, we now are told that there's a new variant coming out of South Africa. The doctor who identified this in South Africa says that it is a very mild case of the COVID-19 virus, that mutations generally are less and less severe as they mutate in society, and that this one, the Delta variant, did not turn out to be this catastrophic mutation that it was claimed it would be. I'm not saying it's good, and I think, yes, it's dangerous, and take precautions, I do. But it didn't turn out to be as severe as the original virus, which, of course, is the one that led to the lockdowns in the United States. And that this third wave, if it happens, and I don't know if it's happened or not, no one knows, I don't think. I think we will find out. Is even less severe than that. In other words, again, I'm not a doctor here, but my understanding is that it weakens with each wave. So the amount of hype around this is suspicious. I would tie this into possibly preparing for the midterm elections, because we should remember, and I'm just stating a simple fact here, that the last election involved the papering of the House of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of unsolicited ballots that were just sent out in mass in the mail. And I think that the Democrats in power, who benefited from that, I would argue, want to do it again. They want to find a way to once again paper the House, because it worked for them last time. And that's why maybe this whole thing is being hyped up. I don't want to say more again, because this is YouTube and I don't want to get shut down. I'm already sitting on Spielkus now worrying, oh, they're going to shut me down. And they might. I may not be here tomorrow. I don't know. Every time I turn on my computer and take a look at my YouTube channel, I breathe a sigh of relief, because I am concerned that I'm going to get taken down and it's another day where I haven't been. That's the world we're in right now. This is censorship time. I've said this before. Look, I'm an experienced radio talk show host. I've done radio programs in Greater Boston going way back. And I know the difference between maintaining community standards and censorship. And my friends, this is censorship. This was censorship the minute the election was over and President Trump was banned from YouTube and Facebook. That's censorship, pure and simple. And it all was based upon this cockamamie conspiracy theory that somehow President Trump instigated a, quote, insurrection, unquote, after January 6th, which is a lie. That was absolutely false. It is as false as the other stuff that was thrown at him. I want to wrap it up, but I'll just say that I watched President Trump being interviewed by Mark Levin. And he has a new book out, which is kind of a coffee table book, nice pictures of his administration, of his family, of his interacting with various world leaders. I recommend it. I watched him talk with Mark Levin, and I am concerned about him in that I get the sense that after 5 years of putting up with absolute crap from this establishment, from this hateful, irrational, inexplicable establishment that tried to thwart him at every step, they know what they're doing, but the fact that they were able to use this mass media, and I get into this, by the way, in my book, Sociology for Conservatives, what Emil Durkheim called collective effervescence. It's this unconnected sense of collective belonging based upon the stoking of emotional subjects so that people can have a collective emotional experience. And that's what was created around Trump by this establishment, who does hate Trump because they hate the idea of putting America first. They hate the idea of national sovereignty. They hate the idea of a nation exercising the tools of sovereignty, such as protecting its borders and protecting its trade and its industry and its labor and its culture. All of these normal things that nations do and that past presidents have given lip service to, Donald Trump meant. And Donald Trump led and still leads, in a way, a movement that seeks to do just that. And they despised that, and they knew they had to take him out. And they hatched these despicable conspiracy plots, claiming that he was spying for the Russians, claiming that he had done something wrong with Ukraine, which was ridiculous, claiming that he is trying to overthrow the government by sending in a couple of motley looking guys, you know, one guy with the horns and the fur coat, and they're going to overthrow the government. These things are all lies. These are setups. And it was a major distraction. I hope that we can learn that this was, in a sense, a true insurrection, a true attempt to overthrow the will of the American people and our election. And I saw President Trump, again, being interviewed by Mark Levin, where he was talking about this and he was talking about the Ukraine hoax. And I'm worried about him because I got the sense that it's starting to get to him. You know, I mean, I was amazed all this time, all these years, that he did seem above it all. He did seem almost insouciant in the face of this vicious, hateful attack and this mind control that they use to influence the masses. He seemed above it. He seemed to be solidly, I think he was above it because he understood his mission. He understood the adversary and he believed in God. Now that's my opinion. And I worried that he might be losing some of his momentum in that regard because I got the sense that from the way he was talking to Mark Levin, that it's all starting to get to him a little bit. He was rambling a little bit about the Ukraine thing. I mean, I can only imagine the kind of pressure. I mean, I'm here rambling about things that are a lot, obviously minuscule in comparison. So, you know, I respect the steely resolve that he's exercised up until this point. But I am fearful that the whole rotten international establishment, deep state, you know, swamp culture that has tried to destroy him, that they might be getting to him finally. I'm worried about that, and I hope that others are as well. In lieu of that, all I can say is that we have to keep on. We have to continue to try to keep on keeping on by understanding what he stood for, the nature of the MAGA movement. We have to keep on keeping on to try to find out and expose and identify what happened in the 2020 election, even in these times of censorship where we can't really say it explicitly. We need to continue to communicate in any way we can. We need to stay strong. We need to continue to get to the truth, because otherwise we're going to lose our sovereignty as a nation, and as such, our sovereignty and our sovereign rights as individuals under God. It is that important. So we can pray that Donald Trump is okay, that he does not let this stuff get to him. And at the same time, we can educate in any way we can our fellow citizens in a nice way, because people, I would contend, have been brainwashed. They've been swept up in this irrational hatred of Trump that was cooked up and coordinated and concertized by people who really do hate Trump because of the reasons I have already outlined. When you approach people like that, and we all know them, they're our friends, they're our family members, they're our children, they're our spouses, they're our parents, they're our uncles and aunts, they're our colleagues, they're our just our associates, people we travel with, especially me because I'm in Boston, but I'm not exactly in a red state, but we all know people like this. We have to approach them with kindness, with care. We can't expect a lot, but you can introduce little kernels of information, little glances of reality into a discussion without triggering people. But yet by planting that little seed, they won't be able to, it'll pierce their conscience, because most people who have been sucked into this massive, what Durkheim would call collective effervescence, they don't understand what's going on. They've been wrapped up in it. They understand that there are rewards for engaging in this kind of hatred, both personal and professional, I might add. And there's punishment for defying it. And so they internalize this. This is why college students, I would contend, a lot of them lean left, because when you get to the campus, you sense, you can smell who is in control. You can see the culture, and you can immediately, it's only natural for human beings. We immediately make adjustments, even if we don't necessarily do it consciously, that will allow us to survive and to thrive, to be able to get invited to social parties, to be able to meet the, you know, spouses and girlfriends and boyfriends. You know, we in order to, you know, be in the in crowd and to be one of the beautiful people. We understand that we have to kind of like trim our sails a little bit, conform a little bit in order to make that happen. And that we also understand that there are very bad consequences when we step away from this collective effervescence, if you will, and that those consequences can be very dangerous and very dire to our futures, our lives. Now, I personally don't give a damn because I'm not involved with any of those institutions, but I appreciate the fact that people are. You know, you're going to a college, for example, and you have parents spending, you know, 60, 70 grand a year, and you want to have a career. You want to have a future. You want to get a job. You want to be able to have fun at that campus. And, you know, you get the message pretty early on about what to do and not do to make that happen. And so you do what you have to do. Now, look, again, if you're in that position, Most people don't have the courage to step out of that. They don't have the conscience. They don't have the awareness to even know that they're in it. And so what I would say to people who do know what's going on, or maybe have a few inklings of what's going on, is to proceed carefully, proceed slowly, and work with the conditions on the ground, as the Israelis like to say. Work with the realities that you're in and work within it. And yet at the same time, continue to grow, continue to develop, and continue to do what you can do, what you think you can do, without tipping the apple cart. And I would say that generally to people who are dealing in this world right now, with people are involved in what I would contend is a conspiracy. And that is that you have to deal with the situation at hand and do it with kindness, with care, with love, and with careful deliberation, because a few seeds planted can sprout. It may not happen right away. It may take a long time, but eventually it does happen. That's how freedom works. Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up there. I hope I didn't get in too much trouble today. Let me just say that my book is available, Sociology for Conservatives and American Conservative Social Theory, both as a Kindle and as a paperback. It is available at Amazon Books, I believe also at Barnes & Noble Books, by yours truly, Charles Moskowitz. Check it out at Amazon, Sociology for Conservatives. And I want to thank you for joining me today. God bless you all. Have you a blessed Christmas and Hanukkah season. And let's just stay strong and let's stay American. Thank you.